This is June 19, 1998. We're interviewing Arnoldo Rodriguez Jr., Corpus Christi, Texas. You've already kind of heard what this is about. We're interested in knowing about your parents, about your childhood, your political career, because you made history at being elected to the West Oso Independent School District at age 18, and then getting reelected. Apparently you did something right. Mm-hmm. So that's what we want to know.
My name is Arnoldo Rodriguez Jr. My parents were Arnoldo Rodriguez Sr. and Margarita Rodriguez. I was born July 11, 1974. Going back to my history, as a kid, my father passed away at the age of 10. Me and my mother were not very close, or how do you say, as a mother and son relationship. My childhood, I lived a lot on the streets. I started kind of like a bad apple. Sold drugs at the age of 16. I did drugs, became an alcoholic at the age of 12. Was suicidal. I was very depressed to depressed till the age of 16, where I moved into a relative of mine. They're my second cousin. Name is Jose Manuel Lopez Sr. and Aida Irene Araiza Lopez. Joe Lopez is my second cousin, but now I call him my mother and father. I've been living with them for 10 years, and they kind of gave me kind of new life, and a new beginning, teaching me that, you know, some things in life are not taken for granted, and there's some roads that you could take and other roads you could take, and hopefully with the right direction, you do succeed in life. In high school, I graduated 14 in my class, graduated with an 87.3 average. Was a captain of the football team, made all South Texas. Was on the Who's Who of American Athletic Students. 4-year letterman in basketball, 4-year letterman in football, a 4-year letterman in baseball.
What made it turn around?
it was my cousin, which is my primo. His name is Juan Jose Lopez. Me and him are we're the same age. We played Little League baseball with each other. We were real close, like brothers. In junior high, he kind of saw how bad I was going. Like I said, I was an alcoholic. I would go drunk to school. Sometimes we didn't even go to school. He. As soon as I got into high school, I became very depressed. I gave up drugs, gave up drinking, and I really got real depressed. Like I said, I got suicidal. As close as I was to him, I talked to him so much that his mother was a youth counselor, and I began to talk to her. Her name is Aida Irene Lopez, and she gave me between them two, Juan Jose and Aida, they gave me something to believe in, a big push, a turnaround, something that I could look forward to. And as I was staying there, their kid brother, Jose Lino Lopez, he was like something like a, I'd say, he gave me faith. A little boy, he was a year and a half. It was something I could look forward to. He had a lot of inspiration to me, because he was so young and he believed in me so much that there was kind of a, how do you say, a bond between me and him and then his brother. It was so different how when a child looks at you, he forgets all your faults, or he doesn't believe in any faults you've ever done, he just sees the good. And I took that as the biggest inspiration in my life, because I wanted to be there for him, wanted to see him succeed, and for him to not that have or be anywhere close to the same background that I grew up in, and being around drugs and alcohol and that social life that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
Where were your parents from?
They're here from Corpus.
And your grandparents, did you ever meet them?
Yes, sir. My grandfather's name was Ignacio Rodriguez. He was a farmer. He lived here in Corpus, but he had his ranch in Concepcion, Texas. He had another ranch in Ramirez, Texas, and then a small little ranch in Benavides, Texas. But he was, like I said, he was a farmer. He spent most of his life on the ranch. My grandmother passed away in 86. So she was very sacred to me, because I remember a lot of I was very close to my grandparents due to the fact that I was the first grandson. I learned a lot of things from my grandfather, like being proud of your last name, where your heritage is from, and who you belong to, and what you belong to. I really didn't understand the points that they were trying to teach me as I was younger, until I started, growing up and being in high school and learning more about my Chicano background, and going back to Hector P. Garcia and all those fellow guys that kind of brought Hispanics into the area of being spoken to and speaking out loud and showing a name and recognition.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have three sisters.
What are their names?
Margarita Rodriguez, Melissa Ann Rodriguez, and Monica Dominga Rodriguez.
Are they younger than you?
No, Margarita is currently 27. Melissa is 25, and Monica is 22.
Did they kind of have the same influences you did? Turn out okay?
Well, I hardly ever get a chance to see them due to the fact that I try to better myself in my life, and I get very depressed when I see them, because they kind of didn't make it like I did. I see myself as I work hard and I believe in what I do, and why I ran for the board was for the betterment to build a future for my kids, my nieces and nephew, and my baby brother.
Who got you interested in that, or how did you figure that out?
My junior year in high school, there was a coach. I believed in him so much. I mean, he taught me a lot of character. Our athletic director was dismissed of his duties in my sophomore year, and as an athlete, you really hope that you get, the best qualified coach that you can. Not necessarily by the sport, but someone that's going to teach you that character, to build you a better person, to teach you someone to succeed in life, And I really thought this was a man.
What was his name?
Joe Sandahar. He's from the community. He's been teaching in our district 20 years. His children were in our school. And when he applied for the position, it was denied. It was given to someone from Oklahoma. I kind of felt not disgusted, but like they had failed to give us the right person. And during that time, I realized that ultimately the school board has every right to give you who they think is the best qualified person. And sometimes being on the school board can be very biased. So my mother ran for the school board, Aida Araiza Lopez. And
well, this is your second cousin?
Yes.
That's the, okay.
Yeah, I call her mother now. Yeah.
So she ran for the school board?
Yeah.
Did she win?
And she won. She had been around politics since her early 1960s. Her father, Juan Araiza, he was a self-taught man. He learned about politics and all that. And he taught him, you know, to go out and why you needed to vote and why voting was so important. And why it was right to teach people to vote. Many the younger generation doesn't realize how much fighting Hispanics did to go vote, to be heard. And now it was like, nowadays it's kind of like a disgrace because nobody goes out and does it. Nobody, it seems like nobody cares about voting anymore, which is the wrong part because we talk about, everybody talks about how old they're raising taxes, and but nobody wants to get involved or nobody goes out and votes. And when I started learning about how important it was to go out and talking to people, to informing the people or the public about the importance of voting, and you get kind of discouraged because a lot of them, you know, are Hispanics that you go see, and they say, oh no, you know, they don't care about me, or they're never going to do anything right. And then you go back in history and you look at former president John F. Kennedy. When he ran, his race was so close that if one person from every precinct did not go out and vote, he would have lost. And that's very important because I think he was one of the greatest presidents, going back and seeing how this man fought. Even through all the obstacles this man had, he still believed in doing what was right and not denying the people the fact of what their privilege was in voting. And then you go out, as young as I was, and you talk to people, and there was some discouragement, but there was a lot of people that believed in me because I had just graduated, I knew what the school was like, and I went to go. I was sitting with my parents and we were talking, and I was talking about the fact that I didn't think some of the things that were going on right now in our community were the best interest of the children. I thought there was people, too many people taking for granted on what being on the board was all about. So, with the assistance of my mother, I started reading up on it and what it took to be on the board, the qualifications, and what your job duties were, and things like that. And so I decided to apply. And
what year was that?
It was in 1993, the year I graduated.
So you were running and you hadn't graduated yet?
I graduated, oh no, I ran in 94, I graduated, and then the following
okay,
year,
because gotcha.
The elections were during my school year, and when I really, my senior year in high school, I went through it, I graduated with a with a B plus average, and I started looking at my fellow graduates, and well, I saw the salutatorian, and I looked at him and I said, whoa, he's no smarter than me. I saw the valedictorian, she's no smarter than me. Why aren't I up there? And at that time I started thinking about all the things that I could have done and what would have helped in school, but due to monies, the district was not in, the district's philosophy wasn't in the right direction that I thought. And the following year I ran.
Did you walk the streets? Did you register voters? Did you get volunteers?
What we did was we started a little campaign. It was kind of funny because it started off with, is my cousin, he's the same age as I am, and he was kind of like my campaign manager. He kind of gave me that push because he had been around it so long that it was kind of like second nature to him.
Because of his mom?
No, his grandfather was always out. He went and spoke to school boards on behalf of the districts and stuff. Always went out of vote, would stay out there at the camps from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Always influenced his kids to go vote and made sure they go vote. And he had been around it so long that he kind of knew the ropes already. So as we talked, you know, we went out and we said, between me, him, and Ayala Lopez, we set out and went. And we strategized on what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. And the best, we informed ourselves the best one was going out and speaking to the people.
Street by street, house by house?
Yes, sir.
Did you have a poll list or just every house?
We started off with families and friends, and then from there we went and we spoke to organizations like the cafeteria people, the parents of students, and then we started off going house by house. We started with a list, you know, being sure to let people know. People we could register, we registered them. That first year was very tough because I was young and
did people tell you that?
Yeah, they thought it was quite good that someone so young was running, because due to the fact that I knew what was going on in our school district, I knew I was fresh. I was, you know, what's that, right out of the cellar wine. We went out and we talked to many of them. We spent quite a bit of time walking the streets, me, my brother, and my parents.
Did you raise any money?
No, we just started off, I think we spent a little over $150 on that year for nothing but flyers and cards. And we went out and we walked the streets 3 days in a row right before election. And I hadn't realized how hard it was to go out and speak to the people. Come election day, it was kind of slow, but influential friends came around. And that's when I started learning how, you know, you have to go out and kind of be terco, and it's not for the look or for the popularity. It's for doing what's right.
Did people ask you what you were gonna do?
Yeah.
What'd you tell them?
I had many people ask me, well, what are you gonna give what's your perspective of all this, and I went into education. Even though I was an athlete, I realized that education was the greatest thing that a school district could give. And my thing was, I didn't want to raise the smartest kid in our school district. I wanted to raise qualified people for our community. I wanted for our students to be capable to make it in the real world. Because after high school, it's no laughing matter. I mean, if they're not ready, then there is, how's that saying, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And if you can't hang with the big dogs, then you're not gonna make it. And at there, I realized my campaign was education. Also, our technology was kind of weak in a lot of areas. So we went back and I started thinking back about what we could do and what structures we could build in our school district to emphasize on how we were, what we could go forth and educate ourselves on helping our students and what we could achieve. So we went back and as people were asking me questions, I started realizing what more and more we needed to see in our, we needed to see community involvement. I went back and I took the philosophy of it takes a village to raise a child. Because you go back, being Hispanic, you go back to the days where you were, as a kid, if you did something wrong, it wasn't rare for your next door neighbor to whip your butt and send you home. And then you'd go home and your parents would find out and then they'd whip your butt. You know, it was kind of, that was lost. It was lost in a big way due to, I think a lot of people got to where their child could do no wrong, and it was nothing about your child doing wrong, it was what was best for your child. In the late 80s, early 90s, in our area, gang problem became real big where I was in the misfortune of seeing a lot of kids that I grew up with, you know, didn't make it.
Were you in a gang?
No, sir. Well, you could say I hung around with a lot of kids that ended up being in gangs, but because of me being an athlete, I wasn't, you know, with them all the time, and I really kind of separated at a good time. Also, I really started looking forward into playing football and sports my high school year, because it was something to look forward to. I mean,
but the other guys you hang around with, they probably didn't play football. And everybody said, oh man, what do you want to do that for? You think you're better than us?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to get good grades?
A lot of them didn't kind of, they wouldn't mess with me so much because, you know, back in their heads, there was a feeling that they wanted to get involved in that too. Because they realized that, you know, sometimes you know, I feel gangs that are made because sometimes you need something to belong to. Going home nowadays, you have two working parents or single mothers, single fathers. And you can't blame society for what's changed during the times of years because of divorce and child abuse and stuff like that. So you always got to look at it in the most broadest fashion. I saw it because of being that I lost my father so young and me and my mother really didn't get along. I kind of tried to stay away from that because of my mother. And a lot of my friends knew my background, knew what I did and why I did it and why I was the way I was. So it was kind of odd because they never questioned me. They never, you know, it was like that kind of sort of, oh, let's go do this. No, I don't want to do it.
So you were already kind of like a leader, even though you were setting apart?
Yeah, it so happens that it was kind of funny because I was like a quiet leader, someone that wasn't outspoken, but, you know, could show people that this is what we had to be done, you know.
Can you define it? Can you define what leadership is? What is it?
To me, leadership is when a person can not necessarily lead someone into to a certain point. It's doing to teaching or to emphasize something. In football, we talk about leaders. Leaders are the one that peps you up, and people that you know, hey, we're gonna succeed because of it. I saw it more as of, I need to show my guys that we can get this done, and that's what we're gonna do. I need to motivate my guys to. And it was kind of funny because I was in the role of being quarterback, and it kind of just falls upon you that you are the leader of that ball club. And when I was out on the field, I learned that if things go right, people are gonna love you. If things go wrong, people are gonna hate you. But the important thing was your teammates, you know, and the biggest thing I ever learned was when our team went 0-10, we lost every game, but there were some guys in there that weren't the best of athletes but gave it all they had. I mean, they worked so hard. It was kind of, you know, one of those God has failed me things. But I learned a lot from that year. I learned who were our devoted fans, who were gonna believe in us no matter what the cost was, and who was gonna be there for us. And it kind of helped us out for the following year, because we went into by district.
Wow.
Our junior year, we got so tired of losing that, I mean, we gave everybody a shocking of their life. You know, we had gone 0-10 for the past 3 years, and then come our junior year, we went 7-3. We made it to by district and playoffs. It was like the guys that had strung out with us year after year, and had those 0-10 losing seasons, finally made it. Finally broke that barrier of not necessarily losing, but, you know, the rejoice of what it's being an athlete is all about. You know, people look at in high school, people look at you as kind of like a god, you know, because you have talents that some people may never have. You have an inspiration. And I remember this because during Friday nights, during game nights, our new coach, he would take us to the elementary level, and we would read to kids. And I look back upon that because, like I said, there's a child is never gonna see anything bad in you. He will see everything that's good in you, everything. And reading to those kids, you know, they inspired me so much because, you know, can I have your autograph? Or someone offered you their lunch money, and it built so much hope. And regardless if you win or lose, those kids were always gonna look up to you. Always. I mean, you could You know, you could be the worst athlete in there, but as long as you gave it your best, that kid was going to look up to you. You know? And it was funny because years after I graduated, I see those kids, and they still remember me.
Let me switch over, because you won the election, right?
Yes, sir.
And how was it on the school board? I mean, here you are the youngest kid. Is your mother on the board at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you always vote with her?
No.
Sometimes you vote against her?
It's kind of odd because we're always at each other's throats. I mean, regardless at home or on the school board, we're kind of two of the same people that I love to argue for arguing's sake, and we're both that. We're kind of hard to convince each other because we see each other as we have rarely talk about the school board or how we're gonna do on.
Well, how did the other people treat you and the superintendent and the teachers?
To be honest with you, they were all very, very surprised. It was kind of like a state of shock.
Were you?
No, actually I wasn't. But during election day, when me and my brother went out, we went out and bringing people in, and we had very good feelings about winning. We just didn't realize we were going to win in such dramatic fashion.
Were you running against somebody that was in?
I ran against two incumbents, and we're eight people that ran. Of course, I was the youngest, and there was the two incumbents and the other one was a radio announcer, and it was quite a bit of people.
So the district is at large?
Yes, sir.
Not by districts?
No.
So two seats were up?
Yes.
And eight people were running?
Yeah.
Including the two incumbents?
Yes, sir.
All right. So two plus six, and you were one of the six?
Yeah.
And you won without a runoff?
Yes, sir. I was the highest vote getter that year. I won by, it was like 75 votes. Going into the precinct, the final count, we sat there, and I was so excited. I remember that day, because I couldn't sit down, and my mother was saying, "Would you stop?" Because I was pacing myself, and I was so excited, and I hadn't realized how many followers I had. Until we got into that, until we got to the countdown, you know, it was like all that hard work we did, it worked, it paid off, you know, all that going out and talking to people and informing the people about how important it was to vote and why they should go and vote for me, it had finally paid off.
Now, you ran again in 97, last year.
Yes, sir.
What made you decide to run again for re-election?
It was kind of like an unfinished business. When I told my parents, when I had the first 3 years that I was there, I had realized that, you know, some people don't actually run for what's the best interest of the district. And I told my parents this. As soon as I felt that I wasn't doing what was the best interest of the children of this district, that I would stop running. And there was a lot of things that we started that I didn't think hadn't finished yet.
So how did you campaign the second time? Did you do anything different or did you do anything better? Did you raise money?
The second time around, it was kind of a little bit easier for me because we knew what it took to win the race, and we knew where we had to spend our money at. A lot of people had already, you know, casted me out, saying, that, well, he's not going to be in the run for it again, or he's not going to be able to pull out the votes he did the first time around. And it was funny because my father, he told it, my father and mother said, well, we're not going to spend no money on building signs or anything like that. We're going to go out and have meetings, talk to friends, go out, talk to families. We're going to go out and just do what we think works, and which is going house to house.
Is she still on the school board, your mother?
Yes, sir.
So both of you are still on?
Yeah.
And you still oppose each other?
Very much.
Okay, but nevertheless, she helped you win re-election?
Yeah.
So how much did you win this time, or did you have an opponent?
We ran against 7 people.
2 seats were up, and
yeah.
7 people ran?
Yeah. There was a 2 people that were running in Slates, we went out, and it was, like I said, they kind of like put me to the side and said, well, this guy's not gonna, because I hadn't put up any signs or, a week before our elections, we went out and we got us some literature. We really worked harder on informing the people about me running and emphasizing the fact of how important it was to be elected again.
Do you hold office on the board? Are you a secretary or?
No, right now I'm just I'm trying to inform myself more on the duties of the board than actually. I kind of feel that sometimes having a duty on the board kind of renders your decision on what you're gonna make, because there's more duties assigned it, and you kind of get off track on the business at hand. Being a president, I think it's a very good position, but due to the fact that in the status that you're in, you're kind of limited of what you can and can't do as a board member. The same goes as vice president and secretary. As I looked at it, I go back and going back to Robert Rules of Order and all that, there's some facts that you can vote on and you can't vote on. Some, there's like I said, limitations of what you can and can't do. And I was very outspoken, and I was I'm the person that if I believe in something, I'm willing to fight for it. I'm going to go up to bat for it. I'm still kind of young, and I didn't want to give the district, something that I didn't want to give the district 15%. If I want to do something, I want to give it all out. I want to know the job from top to bottom. I want to be capable of knowing the job duties and the assignments of board president and all of Robert Rules of Order and our policy, because we are policy makers as a board member, and it kind of having duties kind of limits you to what you can do, because you have to set agendas, criteria, and all these facts.
How much time do you spend on this per week?
We have a meeting once a month. We used to have it twice a month. Usually I spend roughly about a week, because I kind of inform myself on the facts that I have. I don't like to look into it a lot, because sometimes when you do that, you kind of jump off focus on what you try to realize, because sometimes we look at things too hard and too harsh that we don't see what's the best thing to do.
Do you get a packet from the superintendent? Do you read all that stuff?
Yes, sir. I also realized the first year I ran, the biggest problem we had long meetings. I mean, you would go in at 6:30, wouldn't get out till 2, and And sitting there and realizing this, the biggest problem I had was because board members didn't read their packet. You know, it was like, it kind of offended me because it was like, man, you sit here and you tell your students to do your homework. You being board members, you're not doing yours. I mean,
did you speak up?
Yeah, I kind of got offended because first I thought we got the packets too late because there was no informational time for us to speak to our business manager, the superintendent, on facts that were, you know, things that we could discuss that would save some time during board meetings for informational purpose. And what I got real offended was we passed, we denied a lot of things that I felt were in the best interest of the district, but due to the fact that people were not informed or didn't read up on the literature that was given to them, it was denied or it was passed. I also found out that in a school district, it's very funny because it's very difficult to pass an educational program, but it's very easy to pass an athletic program. You know, it's funny, but it's kind of disgusting because being an athlete, I learned a lot. Like I said, I learned a lot of leadership and building skills. I would have thought that I was going to be more pro athletics than academic, and it ended up being the other way around.
you also work every day, not at night?
Yeah.
You go in at 10 at night and
I work for HEB. Right now I'm looking forward to joining a management program. I went to Delmar College for a year and a half. I stopped due to the fact that I had too many obstacles, but I'm looking forward to going back this fall. I also was a coach. I coached the T-ball Little League. I coached Little League football.
And you're not married?
No, sir.
You ain't got time for girls. I mean, you keep very busy. Or you work all night.
Well, I see it. I see it more as a. You know, people call me odd and they say what they want to say. I don't see it that way. I see it. You have to build the future, and you have to look for the future. I want to build something for my kids to have a something structured, something sound, something they could believe in. I love kids. You know, there's nothing like the joy of seeing a baby and knowing that you know you're gonna help raise that kid.
Does HEB let you have time off on the nights we have meetings, or do you have to cut the pay?
They're very, very reasonable. As a matter of fact, they're very sound on community leaders.
They don't cut your pay?
Nah. They emphasize on being on boards and community involvement.
Have you got any publicity for being, back then, an 18-year-old on the school board?
I got an article in the paper about that and it was nice, but it wasn't. My father always told me when I was an athlete that, you know, don't pat yourself on the back, and I took that to heart, and I finally realized what he was talking to me about when the second time I ran. Because that the second time I ran, I was like, well, people don't care, and you know, they're gonna vote me in because of what I do right, not because of influential things that I have. And I went back and seeing all the people that came out and voted for me was such a big inspiration that was my patting on the back.
Did you get that?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, we're back on. I know you've got to go to work, and this has been a short interview, but let me just ask you some quick questions. Mm-hmm. Who is the most effective leader today, Mexican-American leader today?
Due to his death, I think Hector P. Garcia is still the most dominant leader today due to the fact of what he's done in the past, what he did in the past, and what instruction he set forth for the people. There's many community leaders that I see around the area, but to me, I feel that the things that he did in his past was, you know, opened many doors for us. You know, he was outspoken, Hispanic, educated, and very inspiring. Right now, I have a few more inspirational leaders, like I see David Nayola. There's also Jaime Capello. There's quite a bit of them that I actually feel that are capable of being in that kind of setting as Hector P. Garcia, being that they're from the community and they know the upbringing of these areas and they're on the rise. I go back and I look for the people that are out there. I think our mayor right now is doing a fine job. Lloyd Neal, even though I didn't vote for him, I go back and I see his capabilities and what he's doing for our areas, and I feel like he's doing quite a fine job.
Which is the most effective Mexican-American organization today?
I see LULAC as one of the greatest, but it's only in South Texas. You go up into the Houston urban areas and San Antonio, and it kind of dies off. I would hope that it would go stronger in Northern Texas and stuff and things like that, but that's only going forth to how much emphasis we put in it.
Do you belong to school board associations? Do you go to conventions,
yes,
or conferences?
I go to a conference next week, as a matter of fact.
Do you hang out with other Mexicanos when you go there, or,
yes, sir,
or other people? Or
I'm looking forward to going to this one, hoping that I'm capable of seeing the young man that ran from Robson.
Oh, he's 19.
Yeah, he was.
Do you know him?
No, sir. I'm just so eager to meet him because it kind of gave me a boost knowing that you know, hey, you know what you did is going out there, is going forth. You know, kids are realizing that it is important to run or to elect people at hand. Right now we have a good program in our high school. It's called the Civic Minded Students. They go out and they discuss issues being in elections and going out and register people to vote, which I think is real great because a lot of those students could, you know, emphasize that to their parents and enhance their parents to go back to vote, to realize how important it is to vote.
Which is the most pressing issue facing Mexican Americans today?
Right now, to me, I think we need the issue is we have, we need a strong base leader. We need somebody head forth, you know, willing to go that extra mile to lead the Hispanic Americans in, you know. I think there's a lot of misbelief and distrust in the Hispanic community, kind of like envy, and I feel that, you know, if we can find that one person that's from the raza that doesn't, you know, that knows where it came from and and emphasizes where he came from to lead the Hispanic community out into the open. If we can find or build someone like that, I think it will be a great enhancement for the Hispanic community.
In Molina, the neighborhood that you live in one section there's a lot of blacks. What are the relations between blacks and browns?
It's quite well. We have one African American on our school board.
Who is that?
Shirley Jordan. She's been on there, I think, going on 12 years. I think we have a good core relationship because we see what's going on in the community, and we see it as a children issue, not as a color issue. I've always, some of my best friends were black, and I always look at it as it's not about color or ethnic background or your race. It's about what's right.
What about Mexicanos from Mexico? There's more now than ever. How do Chicanos and Mexicanos get along here?
Oh, quite well. Some Mexicanos are kind of offended due to Hispanics have gone away from speaking Spanish, and granted, you shouldn't forget your culture. Due to the fact, but how you know where you're going if you don't know where you came from?
Yeah.
You know, we go back and we look at I had a Mexican American graduate when his name was Domingo Mendoza. He was a great influence in me because I looked at him and I said, well, this guy's from Mexico. He had no chance at coming over here. Yeah, he came over here with his best ability, and he's trying harder than any kid I see in the school district. Why? Because he knows that education was a key point to success here in the United States. And what we need to do is we need to influence our kids that is, you know, we're losing jobs to Chinese, Japanese, and all that. Why? Because we're not influencing our kids to educate themselves more than what they have to. It's, you know, we're losing technology because of the fact that we're not emphasizing technology in our educational system. And that goes all the way up to federal and states. And I think if we emphasize a lot more in that and in surrounding areas, that we can be more productive in the coalition of our nation growing in technology.
Are you going to run for something else later on, another office? Do you have something you want to be later on?
I would like to go to the next level on city council in the near future. I plan on running for many varieties of right now it's out in the open. I want to finish what I started here and then move on. I also want to educate myself a whole lot more in the areas of what I plan on running in. I would like sometime in the near future to coach or be a coach or an administrator. But it's something that I look forward to because it's like right now my kid brother's 10 years old and he's getting into it and he wants to know, he realizes what importance it is to go out and vote, and he goes out and precincts and he talks and it's kind of inspirational because being as young as he is, he wants to get involved already at a young age and you can't, how you say, you can't let him down, so you're looking forward to going out and speaking to the people.
Why do you do all this?
I see that as building a future for me and my family. I also see it building a future for my nieces and nephews and all the surrounding children. To give back to the community that gave me something to believe in. I mean, you look at back at the Molina area and how far back it goes and how the Molina area got its name and what culture it comes from. You kind of realize how how many people fought for the rights here in this community area, and how many people made it from this community area that, you know, why not you, and why not emphasize on building stepping stones for kids in the future to grow into.
How much you make at HEB?
I make $9 now.
And 40 hours a week?
Yes, sir.
No overtime?
Very rare.
But you do the night shift?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, I know you have to go. It's about 10 minutes till 10, and you've got to drive down there. Is there anything you want to say? Because it's been a short interview, and I thank you for the time, but is there anything you want to say in particular? About any issue or any point or anything we covered?
The thing I want to say is to emphasize on the community or people or students that actually get to see this is, and how what the importance is to go out and vote. It's very important to vote. There's no limits on voting. You know, it's so important to go out and vote and be a voice for your community, for yourself, for your family. That is the most strongest opinion that you can have, is to go out and vote. You know, many people can be critics, but unless you go out and vote and show the community, the people that you're electing, that you have a voice, you have that right.
Were you ever aware of the Chicano movement or the Raza Unida Party or Mayo or LULAC or GF Forum or PASO or any of those organizations, or MALDEF or NALEO?
There's quite a few. LULAC was one of them. La Raza is another one that I had gotten myself informed in. There's not too many that I had informed myself in that I have learned about lately, but I look forward into getting more and detailed into those because I like learning a lot about my culture and where my upbringings were. And how our people came from, you know, picking cotton to being political leaders and outstanding teachers and superintendents and city managers and things like that.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Rodriguez, for the interview.
Sure.